Well, good morning, church. As you can tell, there's a little bit of difference in the order of service. We're trying a couple of things brand new today. I just want to welcome you to the service here. Thank you for all those of you who are home folks for continuing being consistent and all. If you're visiting with us for the first time or even the first time in a long time, we want to welcome you and thank you so much for being here this morning. I want to remind you that in your bulletin, if you picked one of those up, you have this little connection card. Gives us some information about who you are and where you're from and so forth. Opportunity there for on the back for prayer requests or praise reports. We'd love for you to fill those out if you would, if you have them, and turn those in. I want to share a couple things real quickly with you. There's a bunch of flowers on the table and on the floor at the back of the the building here. Those flowers were brought to Brother Ronnie Thigpen's memorial service yesterday, and Barbara said, if you like flowers, please take some home with you. They are absolutely free to you to take home, and if you like flowers, please grab whatever you want back there. We'd love to see them go to a good home. But I want to thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to today. Little bit of a different process here. Part of a conviction that the Lord has laid upon my heart, and I've shared that with the leadership, and I hope and pray unto the glory of God that he will be pleased with how we do things today. God bless you, and I appreciate you. I've got a couple of announcements.
Good morning. I'm going to remind you one more time, soup's on. Sunday evening at 4 o'clock, we will be having our super supper, and that is a wonderful time of fellowship. I've got several ladies who've signed up for soups of all kinds. I need more girls, more. So if you would like to sign up with us and share soup with us, I'll tell you, if you're going to make a soup, bring the bread or crackers that would go with it. Some soups require special kinds of crackers. You can bet on oyster crackers with my clam chowder, okay? So make sure you bring the proper bread to go with your soup. We will be benefiting this year the Florida Youth Ranch, located in Bartow, run by the Sheriff's Department of Florida. And this is a home for troubled children. And we will be benefiting their programs. Okay? So make sure you sign up. Bring your soup. 4 o'clock next Sunday. Thank you.
I also want to make you aware of something else. We have a special prayer time coming up here after the song. And our deacon of the week is going to come forward and invite all of you or any of you who would love to join us here at the altar for prayer. We're going to have a quiet time of prayer followed by that lead deacon leading us in prayer as we begin to continue on in our worship service. So should you want to come and join us, if you need to sit, please come and sit. If you'd rather stand, come and stand. If you can come and kneel, and Brother Jeff will give that invitation to you very shortly. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Let's stand and sing hymn number 329, Greater Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Everybody, please stand.
Thank you.
remain standing for prayer.
And I'd like to invite anybody else that wants to come down for silent prayer to be with us. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for the day. Thank you so much for what you do for us that we really don't even take into consideration anymore, Lord. Just be with our sick and our hurting. Please be with Barbara Thigpen at the passing of Ronnie, and what a great day yesterday was. Just be with us all as we take in the word from Brother Kenny. Just be with us all as we leave. Just thank you so much for the rain that you're sending us in the cooler weather, Lord, because all things are possible through you. Amen.
Stand again and let's sing 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's everybody stand, please.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. Worship
sun comes up, it's
Let's continue this worship service by standing and singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, hymn number 334. Please, everybody, stand.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Ladies, on the second verse now. Here.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
On the last now.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed.
Singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Before Brother Kenny comes, Miss Phyllis Taylor is going to come and sing for us.
Give thyself.
All right, amen. If you brought a Bible with you today, please turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, there should be one in a pew there in front of you. Or some of you use your phones, which is fine by me. Have no problem, long as we're in the Word of God, that becomes important. I want to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Would you pray with me? What a privilege it is, Lord, to be here this morning corporately, to be able to worship freely. I thank you for the time of prayer, for the time of giving, for the time of singing, and now, Lord, for the time of preaching and teaching and learning your word. Lord, all of these things are acts of worship. And Father, may we give them freely. May we do them enthusiastically. May we realize that the praise and the glory, all of it, for anything and everything that we have the privilege to do, Lord, it goes to you because you are so much more than worthy of that praise and that glory and that worship. Father, it's my very specific prayer this morning that you would take your word through your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would make it very real to each and every one of us here today. Father, my prayer is that you would speak to me, that you would speak through me, and that, Father, that we would genuinely, as your people, I pray that we would genuinely have a worship experience, Father, that would change our lives, that we would not leave here the same way that we came. For, Father, we need this opportunity to stop thinking about the things that we may have brought with us, Father, the distractions that would cause us from meeting with you today. We realize the stress and the issues and the pain, Lord, that we live in sometimes here on this planet. Father, that just makes it all the more needful that we would hit the pause button just long enough, Lord, to worship you. So may that happen here today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Colossae. That's important because he's speaking to God's people. And he was very, very clear. Let the word of Christ, whatever it was that Jesus has said, the things that you know to be true is what he is saying to the church. Let those words that you've been taught, that you have read, that you know to be true, let those words dwell in you richly with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another, which is part of our privilege as God's people. We call it edifying the body of Christ. We have that privilege that you and I can build up one another in the Word. We have the opportunity and the choice to encourage our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. And it's so valuable here. And we do that with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as part of our praise and worship experience. And it says singing with grace in your hearts. And to who? To the Lord. Now, I'm very aware that I don't have a pleasing voice, but I am very thankful that I get to sing unto my Lord and that he's okay with that. He finds it pretty good, maybe the only person that finds it pretty good, but I'm happy with that at least one person on the planet finds it pretty good. So I get to sing. And I want to sing, and I'm going to sing. I get to pray, and I want to pray, and I'm going to pray. I get to give, and I want to give, and I'm going to give. And right on down the line, all of those things that fit together to make worship what it's designed to be. We have that privilege and that opportunity. And I want nothing more for you than for you to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, this morning. If I've said it over and over again, and I believe it, if my voice is the only one you hear this morning, you got cheated. And I say that with love and respect, because see, it isn't about me. Our worship is all about Him, and that makes all the difference in the world. As I was reading through this, the resources that I've been using along with the Word of God to help me figure out exactly which direction to go in, I made the announcement a couple weeks ago that on Sunday mornings it was going to be my privilege to take us on a journey through what I believe scripturally is what the Lord would want you and I to experience when we have a worship experience. And there's a lot more there, my friends, than I bargained for, a lot more there than I ever really thought about. And over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about it. I shared some of that with you last week as well. And I want to share with you some more, some of the things that I have that I want to share with you today. Comes right out of one of the resources that I'm reading. And I read an interview that took place with several professional worship leaders. We might call them music directors or music pastors or whatever. They had a conference, and they were all music directors, professional music people. And they asked them one very pointed question. They said, what would you say that it takes to have an effective worship and praise ministry? What is the recipe? What are the ingredients needed to have a very meaningful and a very effective worship and praise ministry so that you might lead in a worship and praise experience? Now, this was said to professional worship leaders, and I want you to take a listen to some of their answers. One said, well, you have to have the right band. Twice a week at least, they need to practice and they need to be talented in what they do. Another man spoke up and he said, you have to have the right equipment to facilitate worship. You got to have the latest and the most up-to-date keyboards, the most expensive visual imagery, machines, incredible sound systems. You need all of that techie stuff in order to have a real meaningful worship and praise ministry. And the third guy said, well, that might be true, but I believe it's all about excellence. Ministers of music need to be skilled musicians. They need to be committed to excellence in every area. They need to be well-read on the subject of worship. And they need to have plenty of time in the practice room so that when it comes out to the church, it's excellent. The next guy said, well, having the right music in your hand, well, that's the difference between success and failure for a minister of music. It's necessary. You got to have the right stuff. And the guy who wrote this book, named Vernon M. Whaley, he said, I was there and I sat there in amazement listening to the answers of professionals on how we can make all of this happen. Even though there was elements of truth there, they had really overlooked the main issue, which was worship is not just about music. When I first began this years ago, I did not know that. I have never been a music minister. I don't have the skill, but I love to sing. And it was a joy to be part of a choir. Don't get any ideas, Mark. Part of a choir at Gapway, some of the better days of our lives at Gapway, the 22 years that we were there as we served under magnificent ministers of music who had a heart for the Lord and not just for the music. And I learned a tremendous amount. And this whole idea strikes me as very, very important. And in this series of messages, I'll be sharing with you about worship and giving. I'll be sharing about worship and preaching. about worship and prayer. And part of the results of that is what you saw this morning as our deacon-led quiet time at the altar. And should we not have maybe, if I have not given you enough information, this is for every single member who is here, visitor and member as well, ladies as well. On Sunday mornings, we're going to have this every Sunday morning. And should you feel the urge of the Spirit of God to join us here at the altar, we want you to come and do that, men and women alike. Because you see, prayer is an act of worship. I had a very narrow concept of worship. A lot of that had to do, I believe, with the fact that I spent a lot of years doing student ministry, and their desires for the style of music was different than what I had grown up with in the small Baptist church. Well, y'all know it, Berea, over here on the highway. We didn't do much new stuff because when I was growing up there, there probably wasn't much new stuff. But what I want to share with you this morning is that music in and of itself is not the criteria for worship that's worthy of our Lord. Years ago, and I'm not sure exactly how long ago, a gentleman named Matt Redman wrote a song called Heart of Worship. And I did a little research on that song. And what I understood to say, and the background of the song was given as well as the words to the song, which I will share with you in just a minute. He said, our pastor was convicted about understanding worship in ways that maybe we had not understood it before. He said, we had a very active music ministry in the church that I was involved in. We had more than adequate musicians to play the instruments available to us in the church. And there was a very good and a very meaningful and a very warm and exciting kind of worship experience through our music. And he said, our pastor came to us one day and he said, I'm not sure that we're getting the full picture. He said, I want to do something completely different. He said, I would like for us during our church service next week, he said, I want you to bring only your Bible. And we're going to go in the largest room that we have available to us. And we're going to sing without the aid of any kind of instrument or any kind of recorded music. We're going to sing unto the Lord. And I'm going to preach from the Word of God. He said, sometimes we have a lot of fluff related to our experience. And he said, I would want to do that just to see how it would go. And Matt Redman was the minister of music at that time, and he said, well, I felt like I didn't have a job. What was I supposed to do? And I come to find out, my singing was the worship experience that I needed, and I had a brand new understanding of this experience. And I was also told about a minister of music, a youth pastor, who heard this story and who sang this song with their praise group on Wednesday nights. And he decided he would follow that same kind of pattern. So they would always come in on Wednesday night and they would have a very exciting session of praise and worship. And they had talented young people who played guitar and bass and drums and keyboard. And he said they had a lot of students. It was a large church where he served. We have a lot of students that came very faithfully. They were into the music experience. They were into the worship experience through the singing and so forth like that. He said, and after I read this thing about Matt Redman and the song, and I began to understand how it was written and why it was written, he said, I decided I was going to do the same thing. So he said, we're going to go ahead. And after about two songs, he just kind of broke into the worship set. And he said, time out, stop right where you are, all of you guys right there. Lay your instruments down, come off the stage. He took all the chairs in the room, put them in a very large circle. And he said, I need you all to sit in these chairs in this circle and be very quiet for just a couple of minutes. In which time he walked over to the doorway where the light switch was and he turned it off. So now they're sitting in the dark. And he said to them, now worship the Lord. And just like right now, he said it was completely quiet until somebody said, How? He said, that's my point. Sometimes, he said, we worship the music and we forget about the God of the music. And he said, I need you to know that the object of your worship is the guy who laid down his life so that you might have this relationship. And his name is Jesus. And without any fluff, without anything, any externals at all, so you should be able to worship him in thankfulness. He said, it literally changed my life. Absolutely. And this song, which I hope at some point in time here, the music can be found for this. Maybe I can make it through the reading. It's just powerful. I want us to have a real worship experience. I don't just want you to come here and attend Lena Vista Baptist Church and go through an hour's worth of what we go through here and then go home the same way you came. That's not what I want. And I hope that that's not what you want. We need to learn how to genuinely let loose and worship our God with great freedom. So he wrote this song. It's called Heart of Worship. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart, Lord. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. You know, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. So, you know, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it. When it's all about you, Jesus, it's all about you. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. So I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within me through the way that things appear. You're looking into my heart. So I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it. Because it's all about you. He wrote that song from that experience. And if we sit here and say to ourselves, Lord, you are worthy of my worship. Hands down, you are worthy of my worship. What would prevent us from having that experience? Only maybe if we're confused. I believe that as Christians, we would be foolish to think that we have invented worship in the 21st century. We've done no such thing. Worship is not about selecting the 10 most popular songs and pleasing the ears of the people who show up. It's not about purchasing elaborate equipment or erecting impressive audiovisual systems for displaying work on a screen. It's not about using a praise band or a timpani orchestra or a majestic sound of a cathedral organ, although God wants us to present our best to him, whether it's an excellent performance or whether it's a poor performance of music in our church services. It is not a criteria for worship. It's not. Any performance might indeed be an indication of our commitment to sing or to make melody unto the Lord. and with all our heart, but it's not a criteria for worship. And a criteria means basically a standard by which something is to be judged. If you genuinely desire worship experience with our Lord and Savior, there's not a single thing that can prevent you from doing that. And it pleases me to think that when we sing and when we pray and when we give and when we share the Word of God and when we have a corporate worship experience together, I'm satisfied that our Heavenly Father, if He knows our hearts and our purpose and our motives, when those things are right, I'm satisfied that our Heavenly Father is smiling and Jesus' right hand is smiling at the efforts that you and I put forth. Because in the final analysis, my friend, worship is unto the Lord for His glory and for His grace. I'm not being judged because my voice is not excellent. He's receiving my praise and worship through my voice because I love doing it and He's worthy of it. And I'm so glad that I get that chance. Church is designed for you and I to gather together here and do this. And I just pray that we can find out the best way to do it. The use of music as a method for proclaiming praise is important as a conduit for communicating worship to God and to one another. You can't beat verse 16 and 17 in Colossians. It's just as real as it gets. And as I continue to read this book and continue to read the Word of God and what I love about this book, and I'll show it to you should you want to read it on your own. It's called The Dynamics of Corporate Worship, and it's by Vernon M. Whaley. I'm a resource guy. As you already know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the bag. I have to work at it, and I love working at it because I want it to be right when you get it. What I love about this man, and I knew so very little about him, is he's a chapter and verse kind of guy, and by that I mean what he talks about here, he takes you here. It is more than his opinion. It is Scripture. And my desire is to do exactly the same thing as the weeks come and go. I want us to share in the Word of God. There is a wealth of information in the Word of God about how to worship, why to worship, what the people in the Old Testament did, how they went about making that happen, what the people in the New Testament did, how they integrated all of the above things into their act of worship, their performance there, for lack of a better word, for their experience of worship. The early church did it way, way back in the Old Testament, almost as far back as you want to go. Man was created to worship, and he figured out ways to do that, and every culture does it differently. And even different sides of town do it differently, and different countries do it differently. And, you know, that's just okay if it's under the Lord. So there's several principles that I want to share with you this morning. This is almost as much a teaching experience as it winds up being a preaching experience. But I want to share with you some things that I believe are very, very important in understanding the process that we are engaged in right now and will be engaged in the days to come. Four very basic principles. Worship is not determined by music style, either old or new. Tradition for the sake of tradition will not preserve the blessings of the Lord. Change for the sake of change is not going to determine any future blessings of the Lord either. An emphasis on either one of those extremes, I believe, will be divisive to the body of Christ. Not only have I seen it, not only have I read it, I have experienced it, and maybe you have as well. Balance is needed. For those of you guys who are mechanics and have worked on machinery, and you don't have to answer me out loud, in any kind of an engine or an electrical motor, how important is balance? It's the difference between running or shaking itself into little bitty pieces if it's left undone. In an 8-cylinder engine, if you have one cylinder that's bad, it will affect every part of the rest of the engine. Balance is incredibly important. I believe what happens when things get out of balance is they get destroyed. That's what happens to them. That's true in a relationship. That's true in a business. That's true in a church. That's true in a lot of things. We need to seek a balance of the things that we do. What would be appropriate? What brings God glory? How can we do what we do to the best of our ability under the Lord? Have that balance. Second of all, the minister of music and the pastor are equally responsible to minister worship to an entire congregation. Mark, you and I have that privilege. We have that responsibility. And I take it very seriously, and I know you take it very seriously. And I can gladly announce to you that we are 100% on the same page together. It's been thought about, it's been talked about, it's been prayed over, and I've been seeking counsel for that. Brother Mark and I are 100% on the same page as far as our convictions and our passions and our desires to lead this church that we have the privilege to serve in a full and complete, total understanding of not only the value of worship, but how it can be done so that our giving is worship, our prayer is worship, and so forth and so on. That's the second principle. If the people who lead are not on the same page together, our leading will be futile, and a severe imbalance will be experienced in a congregation. And I needed you to know, and he needed you to know as well, that we are unified in this purpose and in this goal, and we'll walk side by side to see that it happens. And I would pray that you would pray for that possibility too as well. The third thing is being willing to accept and understand that cultural shifts happen. Appropriate adjustments from time to time are necessary. And this doesn't make any difference whether the congregation is of old age or whether they are young. Every effective, meaningful change that we introduce to a church, that anyone introduces, a pastor, a minister of music, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon ministry, everything, please hear me, do not miss this, every single thing that we do that looks like change takes time. The biggest mistake that I have learned over the years in watching pastors and ministers of music come and go, and I've been a Christian for over 50 years now and spent over 45 years of those in active ministry somewhere, primarily bivocational. The worst possible thing that a leader could do would be to ride into town on a big white horse and decide to change everything he sees. I've watched it tear churches apart from the inside out. I've watched folks that have been there for 50 years walk away because leadership did not take responsibility to explain from the Word of God why they would want to go that direction or any direction. They did not seek counsel. They did not pray for wisdom. They did not pray for discernment. They rode into town saying, "This is what I want, and I'm your leader, so you're going to follow me." That's about as ignorant as it could possibly be. And if you remember when I came here, I asked you for a year to evaluate who we are and what we are and what we can do and what we should do and what we should not do. And you have graciously allowed that to happen. And I love you for it. Because I've had a chance to see up close and personal who we are and who we're not. I've had a chance to get to know you, to fall in love with you, which is what a pastor's supposed to do. And I've had no problem at all doing that. That's been a real privilege. I want you to hear my heart all the time, but especially today, because I'm just bearing my soul to you. I want to lead you where we're supposed to go. and nowhere else. I want to lead you where he wants us to go, because it's his church and he has some pretty clear instructions in our job description. So everything that I want to bring to you in the weeks to come, I want to saturate that process with the Word of God so that you'll know that it's not just my opinion, it's not just my desire or Mark's desire or the desire of the deacons or any other group in the church. I would like you to say we are unified as well in that area. God has given us modern technology that we can use all sorts of gadgets to facilitate worship. But communicating with God when we come in this building, communicating with God has never been more dependent on any, has never been dependent on anything that man made. If you don't like to sing and you don't sing at all, you can still come here and you can worship God. If you love to sing and you sing loud and happy, you can come here and you can worship God. If you like to pray and you like to give, you can come here and you can pray and you can give and you can have a real worship experience so that when you walk out that door, you are different than when you came in that door. And that is the goal. I don't believe we can leave the same when we have a real moment with the Lord. I want to share a paragraph with you that I think speaks volumes. The disciples on the Emmaus Road did not have the latest sound equipment or up-to-date keyboard in hand. When their eyes were opened, they saw Jesus and their hearts burned within them. That's scripture. The early Christians didn't have overhead projection when bowing in one accord to experience the power of God in their lives. Thousands of martyrs who have over the centuries paid the ultimate sacrifice for the worship of Jehovah didn't have excellence in ministry on their mind when marching out before their peers and their loved ones on their way to certain death. A genuine encounter with God comes only when we worship God in spirit and in truth. And this is especially true when we apply the principles of worship to music. So now it's down to this. So what does the Bible say? You know, when Jesus is our object of worship, I believe that the only thing we need is Jesus. Everything else enhances this project, this process. If we were here tonight and there was no lights around anywhere, and you walked in this building and I did what Matt Redman did, and we turned off these lights and there was no piano and there was no preaching and there was no fellowship, could you sit quietly in the dark and find a reason to praise God? That question burned in me. As I did student ministry at Gapway, what I realized was, although those students had respect for me while I was teaching, the enthusiasm and the passion that came there in the teaching was overwhelmed by the passion and the energy that they brought to our worship set through the praise band that God had formed there for us at Gapway. Make no mistake, these kids knew how to play the instruments that they played, and they did a magnificent job. And I knew every one of them personally, and I knew that they had a very real relationship with God, and they were passionate about sharing that part of their worship experience. And that praise band did a marvelous job in bringing these kids together and letting them have a moment when they would experience real and true and genuine worship. And although that was real, I noticed that some of the passion and some of the energy and some of the joy, so to speak, sort of oozed out of them when I took the floor and began to teach. So my heart was, okay, let me figure out what's wrong here. And I did. And they learned quickly that they were worshiping the music and they weren't worshiping the God of the music. And when that was communicated to them, things began to change. And we went from about 30 or 35 kids to almost 65 on Wednesday nights. And they came for real. Yeah, we actually got in trouble because we were having too good a time. And the folks in the, there's a space about this wide between the two buildings at Gapway. The main sanctuary is here and the fellowship hall is here. And because our band was into it and our kids were into it, and apparently the music kind of filtered over from our building over to the sanctuary, we were in trouble because we were into the moment worshiping the Lord. And not sure I took it very well at that particular moment, but I learned to respect that we all have different desires. We all have different things that we like. You know, you might not like peanut butter cake. The only reason that is because you haven't had the one that Pat makes. Now, if you've had that one, you can't not like peanut butter cake. But if you don't, I'm okay with that. That's just one more piece for me. But I want you to listen to these. This is chapter and verse from the Word of God. And it's really powerful. It mandates from the Bible the fact that we should sing unto our Lord, not only privately, but publicly as well. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Examples of corporate worship of Jehovah, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's corporate worship. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise the works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. We have a chance, generation at a time, to sing and to praise our Lord in the ways that we have been taught. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Ephesians 5, 19. Speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Prophets of old sang and they praised God in the midst of the congregation, and all the disciples used music and worship in their gatherings together. Listen to this one, 2 Chronicles 5:13. I love this passage. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Let me read that again. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord made himself very real in that congregation because they were praising him with sound and heart and instrument, and they were all as one. Unity, not division. Unity. Are we not all God's children that know him? Every one of you who know him, you either my brother or you're my sister. So we can worship together as a family, and we should worship together as a family. Matthew 26, verse 30, or verse 3. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That's what they did on the Lord's Supper. And we will sing with a choir. Oh boy, I have to read this to you. I'm not out of time just yet. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. Please hear this. And we will sing with a choir of thousands upon thousands when we gather around the throne and sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us into our and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the blasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are," and all that of them heard, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lord forever and ever." This is our boot camp down here, folks. This is our praise and worship boot camp. Because when we get to heaven, what a time it's going to be. I think about Ronnie today. He knows what that's all about, up close and personal. And I'm so pleased that I know where he is, and we get a little taste of what he's living and loving in eternity. As I have always said, and I will continue to say it, thank you for letting me share what I am deeply convicted about. I want nothing but good for Lena Vista Baptist Church. I want us to praise God in every area of our worship. And I'm excited in the weeks to come to talk about praising God through prayer, about praising God through giving, praising God through preaching and teaching and evangelism. What a passion, what a wonderful opportunity that we have. Please do not get weary of the process. Takes time to do it right. I am, and I feel sure, Mark, you are open for counsel as well. Not my church, not his church, not your church, it's his church. And that matters. So this wasn't a salvation message by any stretch, but I would be terribly amiss if I did not ask you up close and personal today. The God that we worship, the Lord Jesus that sacrificed for us that we might know him and love him and worship him and praise him both publicly and privately, that Lord Jesus died for you as well. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, my prayer today would be that you wouldn't leave this building unless you give your life to, before you give your life to Christ. I would love to be able to promise you that you'll have another chance. I can't do that. We never know. So if you need to make that decision, I'm going to ask you to make it today. If you're here and you need to join this church, I'm going to ask you to do that. If you're here and you've been saved and you've not been baptized, we got plenty of water. And I'd be love to have you in that baptistry up there. We will be happy to baptize you. Maybe you just need an altar time like we began the service with today. Whatever the Spirit of God tells you to do today, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. Don't fight it. Don't hesitate. Just step it out. Step out. Do what he calls you to do for his glory and your growth. Thank you so much. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, we love you. We worship you. We praise you because you are worthy. There is none like you. Never will be, ever. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are our protector. You are our refuge. And help us to be what we should be as your church. Because, Lord, we might be the only church that some people ever see, both privately and corporately. And, Lord, what we say really won't matter much if what we do doesn't look like something that you've told us to look like. So, Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. And Spirit, please move among the folks. If decisions need to be made, I just pray that they would today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 305.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still
join us and become members here at Lena Vista Baptist Church. So everyone of you who are in favor of that taking place here, I need to hear a hearty amen.
Amen.
Are there any opposition? Any opposition? I can't say what I wanted to say, but everybody's good?
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome. This is marvelous. You know what? God is still working here, folks. Still here. He's still working here. Well, I want to welcome you as pastor here, and we'll let you know up front here in front of God and everybody. I'll be everything I can be to you as a pastor. I'm thrilled that God has sent you here. They've been faithful, in case y'all haven't noticed here, for months, and we are thrilled to have them. This is another West Side Ridge,
yeah,
folks. Pretty soon we're going to have to change the name of this to West Side Ridge Baptist Church. Not really, but whatever it takes, we are grateful for that process. So thank you so much. We're going to ask them to have a seat. And those of you who are visiting with us, you're welcome to stay should you like. But we're going to move into a business meeting here. Our quarterly business meeting is right now. You're welcome to leave should you need to. Or if you'd like to stick around, you're welcome to do that. Brother Lewis and Sister Martha, y'all go have your seat. that when we're done with a business meeting, give them a minute or two to make their way to the door so that you can greet them on the way out. Thank you very much. Yay. All right.